Well, hey, everybody, it's Michelle, and on behalf of our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, it is my privilege to welcome you to our online service right here at our Plano campus. And let me tell you, this is one of our favorite services we do all year. We're going to be focusing on faith, family, and freedom today. Pastor Graham is bringing a message entitled America's Way Home as we conclude the Way Home series today. So I want you to invite someone to join us today for our services. Send them a quick text, especially if they are members of the military. A little bit later, I'm up here in the choir loft right now, but they are getting ready to sing in just a few moments, Salute to the Armed Forces. So take a moment, text a friend, invite them to our service. You do not want to miss this. It is, like I said, one of our favorites. And we would love to say hello to you. Let us know in the chat where you're joining us from, or if you need prayer today. It would be our honor and our privilege to pray for you. I know Sonia's at home with shingles, and I want you to know we are praying for you, Sonia. Well, this is going to be a great Sunday. I want to invite you to get up on your feet and worship, because from right where you are, our worship service begins now.
Good morning, Prestonwood. We're so glad you're here. Would you stand and worship with us today? We lift our praises. We raise our hallelujahs.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. Yeah. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
I raise
a hallelujah.
Sing a
the middle of the storm.
Our praise, amen. Let's sing this together. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, then sings my soul, my Savior God to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. Joy shall fill my heart. Before us, beside us, and behind us. He loves us. He sees you. He cares about you. Amen. Welcome to Preston Wood. We are so glad that you're here. Before we go any further into this service, why don't you find someone that you have not said good morning to yet. Say hello to them. Shake a hand. All right, you can go ahead and have a seat as we continue to worship together this morning through believers' baptism.
Good morning, church. We get to celebrate 7 changed lives this morning through believers' baptism. This sweet girl in front of me, this is Presley. I've had the honor of being her soccer coach in PSO, our Prestonwood Sports Outreach. What a joy and an honor it is to be a part of this special day with her. So because of these who have publicly professed Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we baptize these in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Presley Ebersol.
And Summer Coteau.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Troy Griswold.
Got here, Joe Wilson.
Because of your public professions of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is sweet Julie Reed.
And this is Julie Lyon.
Upon your public profession of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's a joy to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Congratulations. This is Joanna Mick. It's my youngest child. And an answer to prayer. Joanna, because of your public profession of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is a joy and a privilege to baptize you, my daughter, and my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen, amen. Let's give God praise. Isn't he so good? How many know we serve a good, good Father? Amen. Well, welcome to Preston Wood. This is a special day. You know why it's special? Because God chose today to give us life. Amen. And we're going to worship him. We're going to honor him. We're going to celebrate him together. Well, my name is Scott Turner, and I serve as associate pastor here at Prestonwood. Welcome to those that are here with us in church, and those that are welcome. We welcome you that are joining us online. What a great privilege it is to have you. You know, we were singing that song that says, "How great thou art." When I think about how great God is and how great he has been in my life, I can't help but worship him. I can't help but to say, thank you, Jesus. How great thou art. Has it been great to you? Amen. Well, if you are a guest with us today, do us a favor. Text the word connect to 74788. The word connect to 74788 so that we may know that you're here. You can see what's going on in the life of Prestonwood and our ministry so we know how to pray for you. And also, if you're a guest here, our pastor, Jack Graham, and his wife, Deb Graham, wrote a book called Courageous Parenting. And if you have not received that book, please go out to Guest Central and we will give you a copy of Courageous Parenting. And I encourage you to get this book to be a blessing to your family. Speaking of our pastor, Jack Graham, Dr. Jack Graham, today is his birthday. Yes. Happy birthday. Yes. And Pastor, we thank God for you, and we celebrate with you and your family on this special, special day. And he gets to preach on his birthday. What a great gift. So happy birthday, Pastor. We love you, sir. Well, we are going to pray together, and then we're going to have a very special time in our service. And we want you to know from Pastor and our pastoral team and all the members of Prestonwood how glad that we are that you are here with us today. Amen. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, you are so wonderful. God, we thank you for this awesome privilege to be in the house of God today. Father God, we thank you for the privilege to watch Father's service, to join in with this wonderful church as we worship and honor and glorify you. God, we thank you for Pastor Graham today as we celebrate his birthday. Lord God, we celebrate him as a man of God. And Lord, we pray as he preaches today, Father God, that you would anoint his lips. Father, give him courageous anointing. Father God, that as he speaks, that our ears would be attentive, that our hearts would be open, and Father, that our lives would be changed and transformed. Father, as we celebrate our country today, we thank you, Jesus, that we live in the greatest country on earth, that we live in the United States of America. Father, thank you that we celebrate our independence. But Father, more so, thank you that we celebrate our freedom in Christ. And Lord God, we worship you. We honor you. Father, I pray for every man and woman and child in this house today. The Lord God, that you would move mightily on their hearts. Father, you would speak a word to them and those that do not know you. Father, I pray that this day that they would know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior and be welcomed into the family and the kingdom of God. Father, we pray, God, for every prayer request that goes up today from the hearts of the saints in the church. Father God, not only will you hear us, but Father, you will move mightily on behalf of every family represented here and online today. Father, we thank you. You're so good. You're a good, good Father. How great thou art. We worship you. We thank you. You're so awesome. And Lord, we give this to you today in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. Amen. If you would please stand with me, I'm going to bring up a young man. His name is Reeve Yerskis. Reeve is going into the sixth grade at Bowie Elementary, and he's going to lead us. Yeah, y'all give Reeve a shout. Reeve is going to lead us today in our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reed. Thank you, Pastor Scott. You can go ahead and have a seat. At this time, we want to honor those who have served and are serving in our armed forces. So whenever we sing this song and you hear the anthem that represents the branch that you've served in, we want you to stand so that we can honor and recognize you. This is our salute to the armed forces. Start by recognizing those who have served in the U.S. Army. U.S. Navy.
Anchors away, my boys. Anchors away. Farewell to college joys. We sail at break of day, 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 day. Through our last night on shore. Hail to the foe.
Our U.S. Coast Guard.
We are.
Would you stay standing with me as we sing this together? God bless America. God, first and foremost, it is good to be in your presence. Thank you for joining us in this place. We are so grateful for this freedom that we get to recognize and celebrate today. We didn't choose this. You chose it for us, and we are so thankful. But with it comes a responsibility as believers to leave this place being a light in the darkness, to carry our faith forward, to fight injustice across our country, across the world. We pray for strength. We pray for opportunity to do this. And more than anything, God, we are filled with gratitude for true freedom in Christ. Thank you for saving our lives, for saving us from our sin and our shame, for breaking chains. For those in this room this morning whose lives have been changed by the blood of Christ, whose lives are going to be changed later on this morning, we are thankful. In Christ and in Christ alone, we find our freedom. We love you and we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone, and to everyone online. And you know, when we are together in this place, this message goes out to the world, and over 70 nations have representatives who are watching us online right now, our own members, as well as just people around the world. And we want to say to the people of all the nations that we love you, we're praying for you and your nation. God loves the world and everyone in it. But we unapologetically love our country here in America and in this church. How many of you love America? You do. And I can't think of a more exciting way to celebrate America than, and my birthday, than to do it with you and to be together with our family. In many ways, America is a family. We are a family of people who have come from all over the world. Many of us, most of us probably born here, but others who have chosen to be here. And God has put us together and placed us in this nation. And I do believe that the United States of America is the greatest nation on earth and really in history. And today, we salute our armed forces. Great job, guys, and orchestra, and choir, and Reeve, for your leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. We celebrate our freedoms, and on this 4th of July season, we celebrate our blessings. We love our country because here we enjoy freedom and faith and family. We've been in a message series on the family. And so it's appropriate as we close this series today that we talk about the American family. And specifically, we've called this series The Way Home, as we've been focusing on our homes and our families, our marriages. So the title of today's message is America's Way Home. America's Way Home. Because in so many ways, America has lost its way. We are lost. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Nehemiah in your Old Testament. Nehemiah. And when you look at the story of Nehemiah, it is a narrative, it is the journal of one man who made a difference in his nation and really changed the direction of a people. His name is Nehemiah. Many of you don't know much about Nehemiah, like you may know about David or Joseph or Daniel or Isaiah, some of the great Old Testament personalities. Maybe the only thing you've learned about Nehemiah is someone told you he was the shortest man in the Bible. Nehemiah. But he was a big man, and he was a patriot. He was God's man. And it's the story of how God used this man and a nation, a remnant within the nation, to repair the brokenness of their country, to repair the brokenness of their lives. Because in Jerusalem, after the captivity of the Babylonians, the walls of the city of Jerusalem were destroyed, the gates were burned with fire, and the people were walking on the ruins in shame and reproach. Nehemiah lived at this point in Persia, 1,000 miles away from Israel and Jerusalem. And yet we're going to see in his story how God gave him a heart of a burden to battle for his nation, to fight for the freedom of his own nation. The Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Yes, righteousness exalts a nation, God's righteousness. And the founders of our country believed this. You cannot rewrite history on this. Though the woke left and the secularist and the Marxists and the progressives in this country choose to change history's past and say that this is totally a secular nation, without Christian principles, without Christian and biblical purpose and worldview. Though some say it is indisputable that the founders of this nation built this nation upon the principles of the Bible. And the principles of the Christian faith. Many of the founders who signed the Declaration of Independence, and you can just look at the documents, whether it's the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, all of it is built upon this truth that God exists, that He is our Creator, and that our freedom doesn't come from government, our freedom comes from God. Amen. And it's even imprinted on our money and on the monuments of our nation and across America. The words like, in God we trust, and one nation under God. Again, it is indisputable that this nation was built upon these truths that we find in the Bible and dependence upon God. And He uses people, men and women like the founders of this nation, who are willing to risk and sacrifice in order to accomplish God's goals in our lives and for our family. The nation is under attack. And specifically, not from without, though we have enemies from without, there is a new axis of evil in the world today, from Russia to China to Iran, South Korea. These are enemies from without, terrorists, both without and within. Terrorism is still a major concern. We are very near to a global conflict today. And that's not a scare tactic, it is the truth. We are very near a global conflict. And much of that will center around the Middle East and Jerusalem and Israel itself. And you know this if you are a part of this church because you've been taught God's word. But so many of our enemies are from within. How many of you watched the debate the other night? Well, Donald J. Trump is correct when he says that we are a nation in decline. There are many great things about America, and I believe there's hope for America. It's not too late, but our nation is now over 200 years old. The average lifespan of a nation in history is around 200 years. And one professor by the name of Alexander Tyler spoke of the cycle of a nation that is born, birthed out of bondage, and then what happens. And he writes, from bondage, every nation moves from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back to bondage. This cycle of nations and countries has been repeated again and again, and we see it being repeated in the nation that we love. America is living on borrowed time, and we really have only two choices as we face America today, as we consider bringing America home. And the choices are not Donald J. Trump or Joe Biden. These are not our two choices. In fact, changing administrations is not going to change America. It can help America. And you know I believe in voting and voicing our viewpoint and being involved. Some people don't want to get involved in politics. Well, if you enjoy your freedoms, if you enjoy practicing your faith, if you want to protect your family against enemies from within and without, you will get involved politically. Amen. But politics, yes, but politics will not ultimately change what's going on in America. Because we are a nation filled with spiritual darkness, moral depravity. We are a nation like the nation of Israel in the ancient world. Our walls are broken down judicially. The judicial system is being weaponized against political enemies. Internationally, we're vulnerable economically. All of this is true, morally. And the attack ultimately, though, is upon the family, domestically. And that's why I'm addressing this subject today of America's way home and your family's way home. We are seeing the breakdown of the American family. Traditional biblical marriage is considered passé. Divorce and adultery is rampant. Homosexuality is now normalized. More and more people are living together without marriage. And yes, America needs to find its way home. The family, God's way. And so we have a choice. And that choice is either ruin, retribution, or revival. Now, thankfully, there is a third option that's on the way, and that's the return of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we're looking forward to the day when he comes and takes us into his presence. But until that day, we have these two choices. Either we will choose retribution and ruin, or America will choose revival. I believe the people in the sound of my voice right now want to choose revival. I know this church does. Unlike any other nation, we have seen the blessing and the favor of God upon us. But we are in danger, dear friends, loved ones, we are in danger of losing it all if we don't repent and return to the Lord. The first choice is one of judgment. When we break God's laws, we cannot do anything but expect judgment. The scripture says, whatever a person sows, that he, she will also reap. And again, the problems that we face, the brokenness in America that we face, will not be resolved in the next election or changing administrations in Washington, D.C., and I want to change it. But that's not going to ultimately bring about the revival we need or any other level of government, because government can't change the human heart. God has given us government and assigned it in his purposes and plans and his will to govern by law our liberties. You know, the brokenness of our country might seem strange in light of the fact that so many people in this country say they believe in God. In fact, if you would ask the average American, the average person on the street in our country, do you believe in God? Most would say yes. And most would say, I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. 84%, according to some surveys, believe that Jesus is God. 66% of Americans say that they personally follow Jesus Christ. 3/4 of the people in America say they believe in the Bible. And yet when you dig down deeper, only 6% of the people who live in this country have a biblical worldview. A biblical worldview. Yet 51% say they have a biblical worldview. But when you start asking the right questions about who is God and who is Jesus and how does one come to faith in Christ and what about morality, most Americans think that there are few moral absolutes. In other words, right and wrong is your choice. Anything goes, including many who name the name of Christ. And we have all of these people who confess that they believe, and yet our actions, the way we live our lives, do not demonstrate faith in God. And all of this is contributing to the breakdown and the breakup of the family. So what are we to do? Do we just hide and watch? Do we just wait for the rapture? Or do we get involved? Do we intervene and get engaged in the power of God through revival in our personal lives and the revival of God's church and the spiritual awakening of our nation? So how does Nehemiah fit into all of this, who lived so long ago? The first verse of chapter 1 of Nehemiah tells the story. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Shislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel that is in Persia, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, that is, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. You see, these exiles were living now in Jerusalem. So Nehemiah, living far away, wants to know how they're doing and how the city is doing. And they said to me, the remnant there in this province has survived the exile, is in great trouble and shame. The King James says, in reproach and shame. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and the gates are destroyed by fire. The walls of the ancient cities represented separation from the world, protection from all enemies. And in the case of Jerusalem and the walls and the gates of Jerusalem, these are picturesque of the glory of God. So Nehemiah hears, he inquires, he asks, and he hears that it's in ruins and the people are living in reproach. And as soon as I heard these words, verse 4, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open. This is a prayer for revival. It's the prayer of a patriot for revival among his people. And he said, I pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned. Notice he includes himself in the prayer. It's not just we, it's me. We have sinned against you. And even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, which is the very definition of sin. I have not kept the commandments of God, the statutes and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. And remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. That's judgment. You know, all God has to do if he wants to judge us is to take his hand of blessing off us. Judgment may come with force and fury, and it will one day. Billy Graham once said, if God doesn't judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. So the furious wrath and judgment of God will fall. Because whatever a person sows, that we reap. But all God has to do to really judge a people is to remove his hand of blessing, to take off his hand of protection and provision. I believe we're seeing that in our country. He said, if you are unfaithful, back to verse 8, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me, and here's your choice, and keep my commandments and do them, Though the outcasts are in the uttermost parts of the earth, from there I will gather them, and God has kept this promise and regathers his people Israel and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, speaking of the king. And he says, now I was the cupbearer to the king. That may not sound like a big deal. He was a layman. He was a cupbearer of the king. He was responsible for the hospitality of the king, for the meals and the drink to the king and all the guests of the king. So he had a high position as a slave, an Israeli slave. He had risen to prominence in Persia, had this very nice job with the king of Persia. And yet, though his feet were in Persia, his heart was for his people. His heart was still in his homeland. He loved his country. And so he couldn't leave well enough alone. He was sleeping on satin sheets and eating great meals and enjoying life as a trusted advisor to the king, in one sense. But he cared so deeply that he asked, how is it back home? How is it with my people, the country? And when he heard that they were in reproach and they were in ruins, it knocked him off his feet. He went down. And he began to pray and fast and seek the God of heaven. You know, one of the problems that we have today is apathy. Somebody said the problem in America is apathy, but who cares? And not only is there apathy, but there is apostasy, which is to turn from God and to turn from the Bible. Apostasy in the pews, apostasy in the pulpits of America today. Sin in the pews, sin in the pulpits of our nation today. And so, because we are facing a certain encounter with the living God in judgment, what are we going to do? Is it just going to get worse? Well, we know the times and the season and the signs of the times indicate that it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse in the world, but for the church and for God's people, for our families and for the future generations, we need to pray with hope. We need to pray in faith and belief for revival. It's been said that a family can survive without a nation, but a nation cannot survive without a family. The way God will revive and awaken a nation is to start with the family. Your family and my family. And the generations, therefore, that are to come. And this prayer that we read in God's word is a prayer that we all can pray. I like to say that we can do more than pray after we have prayed, but we cannot do more than pray until we have prayed. Before we stand courageously, before we fight for our freedoms and the future of our family, we kneel. And every great revival that we have known as a nation, and we've seen some revivals and we've seen God move in miraculous ways. Every revival, you can point to a kneeling figure. People who are praying, people who are seeking God with fasting and devotion. So this is what Nehemiah does. He's passionate about God and his country. He's a patriot who loved his people. He was politically active. though a slave, now surrendered to God, God is going to use him in the nation. Yes, we need revival. And it starts with people like Nehemiah and men and women like you. A revival, simply put, is a new beginning of obedience to God. I like this quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones, the preacher from England. He said, "Revival awakens our hearts, in our hearts, an increased awareness of the presence of God, a new love for God, a new hatred for sin, and a hunger for his world or his word." A hunger for the word of God. Now, revival means literally revive, to live again. Revival is for Christians, people who are alive. Revival is not for unbelievers. Unbelievers need Jesus.
Amen.
Unbelievers need salvation. And if you are not a follower of Jesus, if you are an unbeliever, even though you may say you believe in God, but yet you're not a disciple and a follower of Jesus, today's the day that you give your heart to Jesus and you start to live. Because without Christ, there is no life. But if you have received Christ, who is life, into your heart, into your life, then could it be that you've gotten lukewarm? That you've lost your edge spiritually? What about your family? Is your family devoted to Christ? Would you describe yourself and your family as fully devoted followers of Jesus? This is what it means to be revived. And it all starts with what we see in Nehemiah's prayer. It starts with praise. You see that there? In verses 6 and 7, pardon me, verses 5, 4 and 5, it says, he began to praise God. He acknowledged the power and the presence of God. You are a great God, keeping covenant, keeping promises with your people. When you pray, don't start with your problem. Start with the presence of God. And the way into the presence of God is to praise him, to praise God, to worship him, to sing and shout how great you are. Because you start with God, and because God has a plan and God has a purpose, he puts you in a position when we praise him, when we pray to him, to show us what he wants us to do. Nehemiah, praise God. You are greater. You are bigger. You are more powerful. And you keep your promises. You are an awesome God. You are a great and glorious God. Start there, that we elevate our God to his rightful position as King and Lord and Savior. And then he repents of sin in verses 6 through 7. I paused when we read his prayer because he included himself in his own father's house and his nation as well. We have not kept your commandments. As I said, the very definition of sin, that we break the commandments of God either in substance or in spirit. And we've all broken the commandments of God. We've all been broken. And when we break God's commandment, we are broken by our sin. This is the reason we need Jesus. Because we've broken God's commandments. And the responsibility for all of us in our disobedience to God is to own it, to confess it. And the word confess in the New Testament means to say or agree with God. The same as God, to agree with God. God, I am wrong. No more excuses. No more hiding. No more holding on to this. No more rationalization or justification. No. If you want revival in your life, if you want revival in your home, if we pray revival could come to our nation, we need to come like prodigal sons to the Father and return to him in repentance. This nation is a prodigal child. And America needs to come home to the Father. Repentance means we are turning around. We are going in one direction, the wrong direction. We've lost our way. But to repent means to turn around and go a brand new direction as we seek God. The way home is repentance. It starts with praise, recognizing the greatness and the glory of God. It moves to repentance, and then it moves to a recognition, a realization, a remembrance of God's promises. That's verse 8 and 9. When he says, you are a covenant-making God, you've made a promise to us that if we will believe you and trust you and follow you, you will keep your promises. So Nehemiah is remembering God's word and pleading God's promises. That's what we should do. Someone counted them, and there are over 6,000 promises in God's word, the Bible. And if we want revival in our lives, awakening in our nation, we're to read God's word. And when you come across a promise in God's word, mark it and make it your own. Because all the promises of God in Jesus Christ are yes and amen. Say amen. Amen. Stake your life on what God says. That's what Nehemiah is praying. He's saying, God, the walls are broken. The people are living in shame and reproach. We've all sinned. We all need to repent of our sin and turn around and come to you as a prodigal people. But, oh God, you made us a promise. And that promise is that if we would turn to you and trust in you and repent of our sins, what does the Bible say? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Yes, revival comes to our own hearts, to our own lives, when we begin claiming for ourselves the promise and the promises of God. Personalize them. Pray over them. Plead them. Lord, I agree with you. I agree with your word. And then he cried out for God's favor and blessing in verses 10 and 11. He requested God's favor and God's blessing and God's success. He said, Lord, give us success. God, we failed you. But you've never one time failed us. Not one time has God broken his word to us. Now the question is, do you really want revival in our country? Do you want revival in our church? Do you want revival in our home? Someone in our homes. Someone said, as long as we are content to live without revival, we will. We will. Sometimes we can just get numb to things around us. It's a kind of psychological, psychic numbness. Just like the people in Jerusalem who were living in reproach, just walking on the ruins day after day. But God had a better plan. God gave them something better and a promise for the future. The psalmist said in Psalm 85 and verse 6, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Yes, this patriot, Nehemiah, prayed for his country, and so must we pray. Revival starts with you and me, that we would draw a circle around our own lives and our own families and stay there until we're right with God. Will you reconnect in your relationship with Christ? Will you rededicate? Will you begin to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Amen. Nehemiah saw himself as God's servant. He was fully surrendered to him. And so he prayed, and then he got God's provision through the king, and he went back to Jerusalem, and the rebuilding of the walls took place, which was a sign and a symbol that the hand of God was upon him. You know what happens in revival? our children are moved to serve and follow him in the next generation. When revivals come, when revival comes, Christians get their hearts right with God. When revival comes, lots of people get saved, born again into the family of God. Churches are renewed. So we can't just go through the motions if we expect things to change. We need to have the heart of this man. This is my prayer for Prestonwood. It's our prayer for all of us. Yes, it is my birthday. And for all these days and decades, and I believe, yes, God called me from my mother's womb. But I, like you, I believe we all want to be 100% all in. We can't just sit by and stand by and do nothing. As the world grows darker, may we grow brighter. Amen. Let the church and the people who love God be all that God has created us to be, men, that we would love and serve our wives, that wives would live godly and devoted, faithfully serving their families, that children would grow up to honor God and to live for Jesus in a new generation, that our homes and our families would be renewed. We're a family with a good, good father. When the storm damaged our building in recent days, it didn't damage the church. It hit our buildings, but it didn't hurt the church. Because in these days, I believe God is raising us up. God is saying, I'm going to rebuild some things. So with all of the despair that is around us, it's not time for despair, it's time to repair. It's time to rebuild some things in our nation, starting with our faith and our families. And let all this scaffolding around our building in these days, it's going to be here for a while. Let these remind you that we are rebuilding. We are repairing. Not to despair, but to repair. We are rebuilding our homes and our families. Just as God built it, he will use us by his hand to rebuild. As in the broken city of Jerusalem, revival restored his people. They were building, they were battling, and we will keep doing this until the whole world hears and the work is done.
Amen.
So heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to invite you to know Jesus. If you're online, there's a number, 74788. Text the word J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. 74788, text Jesus. And we will connect with you as you make your commitment to follow Christ. And in this room, who will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Who will renew your faith in the future of your family and to pray for our nation and to be a patriot? Loving God and loving our country enough to get involved, to hurt and to be broken over the sin of a nation that we might bring the only hope and message of salvation that is in Jesus Christ. So if you want to make that decision to follow Christ today, make it in your own heart. Gather your family in these days around the 4th of July and pray for our nation and pray for your family and pray for yourself. If you want to come and make a public decision for Christ, I'm going to invite you to come forward. Our ministers are going to be here at the front and we'll receive you and speak with you about your faith and how you can follow Christ. If you need a church home, if you want to be a part of a church like Prestonwood where you can learn and serve and grow in God's word and be committed, not just a part of someone who says, I believe in God, but to really walk the walk. If you want to come and be a part of this Prestonwood Church family, come today and make that decision to follow Christ. Be a part of the revival that we believe God is sending our way. Lord, may it be so. May your Holy Spirit convict and convince and convert people who will come to you for the first time. And Lord, restore and renew and repair the broken walls in our lives. Rebuild broken lives today and restore broken hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Everyone stand.